I only got one hand clapping because I'm holding the phone with the other one.
I know. And that's a pain in the ass, but thanks for holding the phone. So, okay, here we go.
Okay, everybody, guess what? Stop me if I've heard this, and we are hearing something for the first time here. We're hearing a successful remote podcast through FaceTime with the one and only Michael Wally Walters,
and Walters singular. And
he has
been our guinea pig a couple times, and we finally have liftoff. We're so excited to have him with us.
I'm excited to be here.
So, Michael, you've had a hell of a year this year, but you came through it, and you're working for a wonderful group mainly out of Florida, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, but wait.
Okay.
I want to back up just a little bit.
Okay, back up.
Like 35 years.
Oh my God.
Mike and I did my first road trip ever back in 83. For the Spokane International Comedy Competition, in which we shared a house with no furniture for a week.
Well, of course. Just mattresses?
There was nothing there.
Nothing there. Mattresses. They went out.
On the floor.
What was on the floor?
Mattresses.
Nothing but probably used mattresses, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. And I don't use mattresses.
Want to know where they found them. Halfway house decided they couldn't use them anymore.
Union Gospel Mission, I believe.
I'm sure.
Oh, man.
And so it was clothing optional for one of the comedians that week. It was 10 comedians all staying in this house.
And Howie laid around naked, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the one. Clothing optional. Just with a cigarette up in the air. It's quite the visual.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. Yeah, that was our first road trip together.
Waking up and Howie walking in on you naked going, what are you boys up to today?
Oh, damn. Thankfully, that never happened to me.
Yeah.
I think I blocked a lot of that out.
You and I shared a room. He'd walk in on us all the time.
No, okay. I guess I'd maybe remember that under hypnosis. That's the only way.
Maybe one of those visuals. Dr. Bill bring it out on you.
Oh my God.
Buried, my psyche has buried that so deep that I just can't remember it right now. But still, we had a lot of fun. It was my first comedy road trip ever. What an adventure, man. Doing these little crappy little lounges and taverns around the Spokane area for a week.
We were superstars.
Superstars.
You had a room over there. Was that when you had the room, the Red Lion?
No.
No, God, no.
When did you have
We might have performed at the Red Lion.
At the Red Lion Tavern?
Yeah.
That was one of the venues.
That was one of the main rooms that we did, but they had rooms set up all over town for the competition.
Right.
Yeah.
And every night we'd be hitting on some audience member or wait staff member and to varying degrees of success.
No.
I remember giving a back massage to a woman with a lazy eye. That didn't work out very well.
Wait, who had the lazy eye?
She did.
The waitress.
No, I think she was just a groupie, a hanger-on at the party afterwards. And she fell asleep on me. She fell asleep. That's right. She fell asleep, but I didn't know she was asleep because her eyelid didn't shut all the way.
You are so bad.
Well, this is true, though. I back massage her into that kind of slumber that a person gets.
What was the date you started, Mike? What was the date you started in stand-up?
I don't remember the exact date.
I don't remember.
I remember it was a comedy competition. Well, it had to be right after in December because my son was born. My youngest son was born, and I was out celebrating, and I got drunk, and I was this club downtown Olympia. The Golden Carriage, and they had a sign up that said, "So you think you're funny?" And I signed up for this comedy competition.
Because you were drunk and you thought you were funny.
Yeah, and people said I was funny. So I signed up for it. About 3 days later, they called me up and go, "You know, you were down here the other night, and you're pretty drunk, and you signed up for this competition. You want to do it?" And I went, "Well, what is it?" And they said, it's a comedy competition. You got to write 15 minutes of original material. So I sat down and...
15 minutes?
Out of the gate, huh?
Holy crap.
Well, shoot for the stars.
wrote the routine out about my wife having the baby. And that bit's still in my act today.
Well, there you go.
Well, I've modified it somewhat.
If it's not broken, why fix it?
You've tweaked it.
And so I ended up coming in second place in the and I'd never won before.
Wow.
And MC of that was a guy, I don't know if you remember this guy, Swami X.
Nope.
From the Comedy Saloon. He was out of Venice, California, and he was just this old hippie guy that was living up in Seattle and was a host at the Comedy Saloon out on Aurora. You remember
right,
that?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Was that the biker bar?
Yeah, Jeff Didybrand's place on Friday and Saturday, and Mick Aiken, the host of it on
Wednesday.
Well,
that was next door to the biker bar. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan's on Aurora. Ryan's. On Aurora. Yeah.
Well, no, mm-hmm. that wasn't Ryan's. Ryan's was further on down the road. That was Diddy Next Club after the Comedy Saloon.
Okay.
It was just called Saloon. And then we called it the Comedy Saloon.
Okay. All right.
So you could do open mics at the Underground on Monday and Tuesday. On a Wednesday and Thursday, you could do open mics at the Comedy Saloon. So they had four nights of open mics. And then they had open mics at Blocks on Queen Anne.
Yeah, that was a great club.
Yeah, and you could go there. But if you did well during the open mics, then you'd get hired to be the MC for weekend shows for $35 a sandwich and all the beer you could drink.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Which appealed to a lot of the drunks, Lee McKay, Howie Kirsten, you know, those guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, $35, though, back in the 80s.
Yes.
Was like $50.
Was like 42 now.
So. 50, all right.
So tall money.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, though, the idea of getting paid at all, man, my first gig was at a strip club here in Portland, and it was for Donna Richards, Donna Burdick at the time. And it was, they'd sit you down and go, here, come here, sit here, have a good time. And, that was my first.
They told you couldn't wear jeans.
No jeans on stage.
No jeans on stage.
You could be butt naked, but jeans were tacky.
Yeah. So
no jeans on stage at a strip club?
That's what the rules were on the wall in the green room.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah, we start out. We just got to make a few bucks, and you want stage time is all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're just scrambling to get stage time.
We're old. They won't let us on stage.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you old guys.
Here's a piece of trivia. You remember who closed the finals of that competition? Who did the set at the end of the night while they calculated what's that?
Jerry Seinfeld.
You are correct. Jerry Seinfeld closed
that
particular week. Yeah.
In 1983.
Right.
Because Art had only been in the business for like a month and a half when he did this.
Art?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. I started in March, and that was like, I don't know, November?
June?
Maybe it was 84, spring of 84.
No, it was 83.
It was 83.
Okay, now we really sound like old people, don't we?
Yeah.
It was 83. No, I remember, because I had the Green Rambler.
Yeah. You and Johnny Johnston driving me home.
That sounds about right.
Into the finals.
Oh, and it started, the prelude to the week was a night in Moses Lake at the Steak and Grub.
Oh.
Steak and Grub. I remember the name. It was an L-shaped room where you could choose which side of the room you wanted to try to do your show to. And it was a good combat comedy.
Yeah. Combat comedy gets a little harder as we get older.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't carry a knife anymore.
That's good.
Well, you still, I remember working at the biker bar on Aurora, and Art and I were there the same night. The guy drove his bike through the door with a gal on the handlebars.
Right. Rode his hog, and it was a big chopper.
It was a big chopper, and he just broke the door down.
Yeah, he was revving the engine and filling the place with blue smoke.
Oh, it was just terrible. Yeah.
My brother came to that. That's the first time my brother ever saw me perform live comedy. Afterwards, he goes, so, is it like this all the time?
Yeah. Just a common thing. Well, it all depends on where you're working, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But no weaponry that night. Even though with the comedy and guns, better to have it not needed.
Now, Mike is one of the only comics that have in the longevity that has also been a comic and a booker.
Right.
You booked a lot of rooms too, on top of being a stand-up.
I was the original booker, or no, I wasn't the original booker of Jokers over in the Tri-Cities, but
Right.
I was second booker for Jokers. The first one was,
Donna. Was
huh?
Donna.
No, not at Jokers. No.
No.
First book
Oh,
was,
Jokers, that's right.
yeah, what's the guy's name that went to Alaska? Oh,
Earl
jeez,
Burks. Earl
no,
Burks.
Burks. He was the guy that did the bit about Dick Trickle.
Boy, another thing that I'm going to have to remember and
I
never take notes.
know,
Oh, wait a minute. No, I got it. John Ferluga.
hello. Oh, John
Oh,
Ferluga.
sure, yeah, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, John
Right.
Ferluga was booking it. Then he moved to Alaska, and so the managers over there, and I'd been over there a couple of times, Jonas Rosenberg got a hold of me and asked me, well, we got a poor connection. Oh, now we're back.
Okay.
Jonas Rosenberg got a hold of me, and I booked that room for 5 years.
That's right.
Before anybody else booked it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's the one at
Well, John Luca booked it, then I booked it, and then I think Ken Muller booked it.
And this is the room at the Tower Inn?
No,
No,
no, no.
no, no.
This is
This
the
is
bowling
Joker's,
alley.
the bowling
My
alley.
Richard Dad and then everybody else. This Joker's Casino.
Yeah. No, I did that room for you.
Yes, you did, Art. I had two casinos over there. I had Joker's and then I had one in Kennewick. And
Yeah.
I'd send the comedians down. I'd send two comedians down because they only did the headliner. And one would work Joker's, the other one would work celebrities. And then they'd switch the night and then they go back. And then they stayed at a condo that we had down there.
You had me down there with Becca Berry.
Yes.
Oh, God. And it was right after the weekend after Chris Alpine and Jan Barrett had been there. And Jan had not shown up for the gig.
And I lost the room because of that.
Yeah. Well,
Oh, no, really?
but we're not going to go there. But it was, yeah, I remember that because it was big. There was all this drama around it. But
She
yeah,
was
those were, that was fun. Huh?
going to the rodeo.
Yes, she went to the rodeo.
Oh, there you go.
Dan Barrett and Dean Olsen. And she called the club and said, have Dean open for me. Well,
What?
Dean was the headliner at the other club. It was, you know.
Yeah.
And the show was at 10 o'clock, so there was no really reason to miss a gig, you
I
know.
know. Yeah, I know.
Maybe she just wanted a headline.
Oh.
We should ask Jan to be on this on the podcast, though.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to talk to
Well,
her.
you've booked a lot of rooms since then. You've booked golf clubs. You booked the Shiloh, or rather the Chinook Winds Casino for a while.
I
And
did for a short period of time.
for a short period of time. But you know, one thing that's always been true, wherever it's a Mike Wally gig, there's a free meal.
There's always a
There's always
meal.
a good meal. That's where you start and you work backwards from there. Do you guys provide a meal? Okay, let's do a show. How much do you want to pay the comedians? But I'll say that, but it's always a fair wage. You've never been a cheapskate.
No, that and it's always really cute because you really want to let people know. You tell them how much it is. You go, and you get a free meal. I went, okay, that's good. Then we know it's good.
Yep.
That was the selling point. Well, and if I could, I provided a hotel room. Place
Of
to stay.
course.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah.
I
No,
mean,
you're a comic.
that was a given. I mean, if you came up and you worked at Jimmy G's, which I booked was a three-nighter.
It's a great room in Tacoma.
Yeah, I tried to get you a place to stay up there too.
Did you have three comics each night, or the same comics, or?
Yes, I did at Jimmy G's.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I remember doing two nights there, but I don't remember three.
No, and I did Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I sort of remember that maybe once through.
And I remember this because Ty Barnett
Yeah.
was your MC.
Oh my
And I was
God.
the only comics that was, or one of the only bookers that was paying MCs. I paid him $50 a show. And I
Wow.
walked to the club because I'd done a private party, and you were closing out the show, and I was going, where the hell is Ty Barnett at? And you said, he wanted to leave early so he could do a guest set at the Comedy Underground.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
And I fired him the next night. I said when I.
Oh,
Yeah.
so I ratted him out. You can count on me.
No, but I was there. Mm-hmm. I asked where the hell he went. You know.
Oh, I see.
Closing out the show, I showed up before the show was over, and you were still on stage, and nobody closed it out.
Wow.
And I went, "Hi, Barnett." Well, he went to do a guest set at the Comedy Underground. I said, "I'm not paying you money to be an MC to go do a guest set somewhere else."
Yeah, right. The job is good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Don't forget to tape the waitstaff. Yeah.
You're expected as the MC to be there all night, so I fired him. And he still remembers that to this day.
I bet he does, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he doesn't do it to anyone else.
Work ethic.
That's
right.
The key phrase there.
Yeah. So now you've had, you've lived in Olympia, you've lived in Chehalis, you've lived in, I mean, you've had several wives. Mike is well loved.
Wives and lives.
Yeah.
I was born in Chehalis.
Right.
We moved to Olympia. I grew up in Olympia. I got married to my first wife.
Hold on.
And I was still working at Georgia Pacific Corporation. Then I started doing comedy. Then I met my second wife, and I got married to her. And my third wife thought she was. No. My third wife was the whore. That was it. Julie. Who couldn't keep her pants on when I was on the road. My fourth wife thought she was a comedian and was god-awful. Just, I don't know what the hell I was thinking when I took her on the road with me to be my opening act. But
no.
That was
well,
a
you didn't
huge...
have to marry her to do that. You could have just taken her with you.
Yeah, well.
Well, 2020 hindsight, right?
Yeah, and I don't know how many weddings have you been to, Susan?
I've only been to one, but I you were not married to the gal you lived with in Spokane, where you and Mick Akin were stealing electricity off of somebody else's house.
Uh-huh.
Not me.
No, Mick, not you. Mick Akin.
Mick Akin was the next door neighbors. He had a hose going from their water faucet and then that hooked up to his water line, and then he had electricity that was going to his house. So he had everything running up an extension cord.
That's a way to live, man.
Yeah. Jerry Benefield. It was Jerry that I lived with in Spokane.
Right. And you had all the animals, and you had heaters that had no grates on the front of them, and it scared the holy bejesus out of me.
I know.
Because
in it whatsoever, but it was only $100 a month for the house.
Yeah, and could have gone up in flames in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But
you'd be surprised who stayed there.
I know. You know. A lot of people stayed there.
Yeah, a lot of people stayed. Ryan Stiles stayed there. Ricky Graham, you remember Ricky Graham?
No.
I remember the name.
Yeah. Black comic that was out of Seattle.
Hmm.
I did it with Hanson one time, but I also did it with the guy who played the didgeridoo.
Rick Schrader.
He was a brilliant guy. He's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And
his partner, Dennis Mitchell, had a great comedy team called Santucci.
Say the name again.
Dennis Mitchell.
No, the comedy team name.
Sammy and Smoochy.
That's right. Okay. Sammy and Smoochy. They were hysterical.
I know. They had the one where Rick said, I'm going to play the trombone while my partner finds a cure for cancer. Dennis would whip out a microscope, and he'd be looking through the microscope, and Rick would be on stage going, and then he'd stop, and he'd look over at Dennis. Dennis would look up from the microscope and go, shake his head, no. And he'd go, blah, blah, blah. And they just kept doing that for a couple. It was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
They were way ahead of their time.
Way ahead of their time.
They were so smart. Both of them were so just brilliant. And Rick still is.
Yeah.
And he posts some really wonderful stuff online. But I, you know.
But experimental for the time. There was a lot of monologues. And I remember Dennis Mitchell doing a thing where he'd sit on stage and read a comic book while the audience watched him do that. And the manager going, what the hell are you doing? You got to do some jokes. You we're not paying you to sit up there and read a, you know. It was very conceptual.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was great.
They were very clever and very smart and funny. And, yeah, maybe now it would work. Hard to say.
I don't know. We should ask him to be on.
Huh?
I would like to talk to Rick again. He's just so, what's, I don't know what Dennis is doing. But let's talk about Mike.
Let's talk about Mike Wally.
Let's talk about Mike Wally.
Many incarnations of.
Used to have a lot of props.
I did. I started out as a prop comic.
Right.
Right.
And I remember one of my favorite was the Ewok.
The Ewok?
Yeah, the Ewok.
The show as the Ewok having an orgasm.
Yeah, the Ewok having an orgasm.
That's right.
Right on stage afterwards.
That's right. Yeah, like a squirrel hat or something, a costume.
Yeah, I had a hood with ears sewn on it. You know?
It was. It was cute.
Yeah.
And you had, and the other one was Howie would do spray paint his head. Howie Kirsten used to spray paint his belly silver.
Yes.
And then do Jiffy Pop.
Jiffy Pop popcorn. It's much fun to make as it is to eat.
Oh my God. He's just.
Yeah.
The two of you used to just make me cry laughing. Just crazy.
Crazy stuff.
Great story about me working in San Antonio, Texas, and they said I could pick my feature, and I asked Howie, I said, you want to go down and feature for me? And he said, yeah. So I said, okay, I got this airfare from Southwest. It's your guest flies free or your companion flies free. You buy one ticket and your buddy flies free. And I said, you want to fly down there? And he goes, no, I have a bus ticket that'll take me anywhere in the country.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, we were roommates in Seattle, and we were sharing his house at Brett's house, and I put Howie on the bus, and then the next day I flew to San Antonio, and then the next day I had a rental car, and I'd just been sitting in the pool all day, and I remembered that the bus was coming in, so I got out of the pool, and I drove down to the bus station, and Howie got off the bus.
Oh, my God.
And he just looked like hell. And I said, oh, my God, you look horrible. And he goes, you know, you ever get on a bus and you see that guy and you don't want to sit next to that guy? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I was that guy. Nobody wanted.
He earned that somehow.
Well, he did. But, you know, deep down, Howie was a really good soul.
Yeah, and really a smart man.
Smart and very sweet. Yeah, he was a...
Very sweet, yeah.
He just wasn't afraid to scare people a little.
No. And he didn't realize why they were scared. Why are you scared?
I don't know. Let's start with the hair.
Let's start with the hair, yeah.
Naked body, yeah.
And possibly the fact that your t-shirt doesn't cover your belly.
Yes.
But yeah, Howie Kirsten played two trumpets simultaneously.
And what are you going to play, Howie? Spanish Eyes.
Shies. Oh my God.
Meanwhile, yeah. Ma and Pa were, how'd that go?
Meanwhile,
back at the ranch, Ma and Pa were beating up the Indians and they just kept coming and coming.
That's right.
Jesus.
Howie
God.
Kirsten classic.
Doing his impression of a Little Orphan Annie. The sun'll come out, mañana. Bet your bottom peso that I say so.
That's right.
That's right.
But here we go. Now somehow you've done this again, Mike. You've got this not talking about you.
But much of Mike is tied to Howie in the early days.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah.
In the early days, I was, but then I had to break away because people kept confusing us for each other.
Uh huh.
I know.
You didn't need that.
Air at that time.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. I remember laughing about you one time. You came, we were doing that Gig Harbor gig, and I don't know if I was featuring for you, but you arrived at the gig, what was the name of the Gig Harbor club?
Cromwell's Ale House.
Cromwell's Ale House.
Oh, yeah.
And you pulled up in a limo, and we all went, oh my God. What's Wally doing now? You had a limo and you had babes on each arm. I'm going, oh my God, he's got an entourage.
Yeah.
That was...
You just spent more money than you made.
I can't remember why you had that, though. You had just...
I didn't have to spend for the limo, Art.
Really?
I never paid for a limo, no.
How did that limo happen then?
I had a limo company and he gave us the ride up there, but I had just finished opening up for Foghat.
Fog Hat? Oh, my God.
Okay. And
Foghat. Okay. I had a gig at the Cromwell's Ale House, so the limo took me up there.
That's awesome.
Is that was a story. I just kind of went, Oh my God. Where'd the
Yeah.
limo come from, and how come, what happened with Mike? Did I miss something?
Yeah.
you were always, you always had babes on your arm, though. You always had a gal. And I think you're married, too, if I might say so.
Hard to
One of them,
say. You.
I want.
Yeah, how many marriages? Five now?
I have five ex-wives,
Five
yeah.
ex-wives and one current non-wife who is awesome, and
Who's
you guys are perfect together.
the longevity one? She's the one that's, Gwen's
But
been with you a long time.
actually, in February, it will be 10 years.
wonderful.
Wow, that's
That's some
congratulations.
stability, and you couldn't have landed on a nicer person.
She's a lovely
I put
person.
that wrong.
You know, I had a crush. Had a crush on her in junior high and high school.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, and I never asked her out. Her mom went to school with my dad in Raymond.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the connection at the beach, isn't it?
Excuse me.
Huh?
That's the connection at the beach. You have a
Yeah.
connection at the beach. Okay,
Yeah. So
yeah. So, Michael.
now.
Yeah, and it took her 43 years.
I'm sorry, what?
You're
It took
breaking up.
her 40 finally asked me out. We've been
43 years
together
to ask you out?
43 years. Yeah, she was married for 30 years, and I had to go through the five wives. So,
Well,
and we all said, don't marry him. Love him, but don't marry him.
yeah. Well, you know, I asked Gwen to marry me.
Oh,
And she
yeah.
said, hell
Well,
no.
because of what? Force of
But no. And I said,
habit?
why? And she said, why ruin a good thing? And I went, oh, really? Our relationship? And she goes, no, my credit. I have good credit.
Well,
She's a very smart woman.
she's a
She
very,
is.
yeah, she's a very
Right.
special woman too. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
so. And now she travels once in a while with you, but she has her own thing. She's doing a lot of artwork and stuff still, right?
Well, she's doing some scap work, but she's got a new volunteer job that she does. She's an ombudsman for aging, and
Oh.
she takes care of an assisted care living home and one Alzheimer's home.
Oh my gosh, wonderful. That's bless. I should call her. I need help too.
She goes in and advises the patients of what their rights are and everything, and just makes sure that they're being treated well. And so,
Good, yeah.
after my little incident, and I had to go to a what is it called? You know,
Memory center?
a rehab center. Yeah, I
Oh,
had to go
yeah.
to rehab, basically.
Yeah.
But it was an old folks home. I'm in there. Boy, they jumped too every time she walked into the building. You know, she'd ombudsman name tag, and they, uh-oh, are we in trouble? And,
Well, that's necessary these days, man. These those
well,
places.
you know, the boomers are getting older so fast.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time keeping staff, enough staff. I mean, it's really an issue. You know, there's a lot of so good for Gwen. I have
Yeah.
two
Yeah.
friends that do the same job, and it's challenging. It's really challenging. And I'm going to talk. We've been talking about Art, and I've had both talked about our health issues. You have. Is it okay if we say you have diabetes or no?
No, that's
Because
fine.
I've just said it. But
Yeah,
anyway,
no, it's not.
I have what? What are you talking about?
I know what. But you've had some health issues this year that have been serious.
Yeah, well, it started in '98 when I got diagnosed with cancer and diabetes at the same time. I had bladder cancer, and then I
Right.
had treatment on that, and then it came back 17 years later.
Right. Which
And
one did we do the benefit for that you took the hooker to Vegas on the benefit money? Which one was that? Was that the second? That was the second time, or was that the?
that was the first time.
Okay,
That was the first and the last time. But
yeah.
and surprisingly enough, Susan, that's when I quit drinking too.
Well, that's
Oh.
a good idea.
Yeah.
But that's a famous story. That's a
Uh-huh.
famous story in the comedy world.
Yeah. Black from Spokane, wound up in Vegas with a hooker from Spokane.
With comedy benefit money.
With comedy benefit money. Well,
Yeah.
I have the money. I had the money at home in a dresser. I'd written bad checks while I was in Vegas, and I had to call my buddy. go over to my house, get in the top drawer. There's a couple of grand in there. Take it down to the bank and put it in the bank. Why? I wrote bad checks in Vegas. Oh, my God, I'll do it right now.
Oh, good.
Oh, no kidding. There's a couple of guys outside my room right now.
Oh, my God, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not always thinking straight.
Yeah. Well, that's alcohol.
Intelligent, you know.
Right. You weren't thinking with your head at all.
Yeah. Well, the small one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then... So 17 years later, it came back. I remember that one.
It came back, and then we got it cured again. I went through the treatment, got it cured again.
Yeah.
And it just came back again this last year.
And what was the line I gave you?
I've had more traffic up my urethra than the Holland Tunnel.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. And my new doctor liked it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. It's just like you need a toll to make some money. There should be a toll. Because...
You're not going to believe this, but the last operation when I went in there, he said the tumor was non-invasive, or low grade. It was malignant, but it was low grade, non-invasive. Uh-huh. So they got it all.
Right.
And he said, "I have to put a stent in." And I went, "Okay, you know." He said I had to put a stent in. Now, stent, what do you think of? Art, you're familiar with stents, aren't you?
I don't think I've ever had one, actually. I've had heart work done, but never had a stent.
But you think of a stent as maybe a little wire?
Or a tube.
A little tube, about that big, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I go in for the results of the surgery and everything, and he goes, low-grade, non-invasive, but I do have to remove the stent, and that's got to come out. You're coming in on the 28th of December. So come in. So they got to go back up again.
My God.
Oh.
To remove the stent. And so he's...
Did you have good insurance during that?
Hammer and all that stuff because it's a scope. And he goes, oh, okay, there it is. Now I got to grab it. Now this is going to feel weird. And he pulls it out.
Weird?
Swear to God. It was 24 inches long.
Oh my God. Ooh,
weird isn't the word.
The bladder and I'm going, why was that so big? And the nurse is going, do you want to keep it as a souvenir? No.
Oh, hell no. Oh my God, that's so gross.
Could you make it into a Christmas ornament?
Oh my God.
I don't think weird quite covers it.
Yeah, I know. Well, and that's what it was. He goes, this is going to feel weird.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, wow, that's and you have had open heart surgery this last year too.
I had a heart incident while I was in Florida. I was playing with my buddy who had a complete heart transplant. He's 74 and he's got a heart of a 26-year-old. So we were playing golf down there in the Villages,
right.
The over 55 community in the United States.
Right.
And we're playing golf, and out of 9 holes, I hit 7 sand traps. And I'm coming out of the 7th sand trap, and he looks at me, and he goes, are you all right? And I went, no, I don't feel good. And so he says, you don't look good. And he put me in a golf cart, and he said, as soon as I hit the golf cart, I passed out.
Oh, God.
So he's holding me in the cart and driving down the hill to the front of the golf course.
Yikes.
A 911 to meet us down there. So they took me to the regional hospital in the middle of the Villages, the largest over 55 community. I'm laying on a gurney in the emergency room, and all the nurses are excited because someone had just given birth to a baby.
Well, that's good.
No, they're not equipped for that at all.
They aren't. You know, you can throw a stick and hit a cardiologist. They're not, you know, they're running out. We don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And were you conscious? Obviously, you remember that. You were conscious.
I was conscious, and they went in, and we did some exams, and they told me I had aortic stenosis, which meant I had a leaky aortic valve. And I said, well, you know, and they said, well, you need to have surgery on that. And I said, I have like 3 more shows to do down here. Can I do the show?
Hold on. Okay, we're losing you. Hang on just a second, Mike. Okay, I can hear you. Keep talking.
Okay, yeah. Somebody was calling me. Where was I? I had 3 more shows to do, and I said, and then I want to fly home, and I have the surgery done at home because I don't want to have the surgery done in Florida. So I did the three shows.
Yeah.
You did the three shows with a leaky aorta.
Yeah.
And, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
One of the shows was I was doing a cancer benefit show for a buddy of mine that had cancer, and we were trying to raise money for it.
I know.
So it was real important for me to do that show. And
It were your last show.
Yeah. And I flew home, and they picked me up with a cardiologist here in Olympia. And Gwen and I went over to the cardiologist, and he did an EKG on me, and he took me into the office, and he sat down, and he said, here's the deal. Tacoma General, Virginia Mason, or University of Washington, they all have three excellent heart surgeons. Go there now.
Wow.
What? Go there now and check in. You need to have surgery done immediately. So I went up to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the next day, the hospital in Tacoma General, and we had surgery the next day, and they replaced my aortic valve. So they cut me open from stem to stern and cracked my chest open and put a valve in. They were going to put a pig valve in me, and I said, no, I play a Jew on stage. And
doesn't work. So did you tell them that you are...
So they put a bovine valve in me.
Ah, so you're full of bullshit. Anyway, so that works.
Well, no, but the blood is moving through my body.
Oh my God, that's so
right.
bad.
No, I can edit that out, don't worry.
Isn't it bad? Yeah. I go to the meat market, I get an erection every time I pass a rump roast.
Anyway. All righty.
Okay.
So that happened, and then you got the cancer diagnosis, and then you had the stent out, and then, I mean, so far this year, though, you've been good. We're into it for 9 days. You're all right.
2019, I'm doing fine. 2018 was not a good year.
Nope, it wasn't, but it's going to be good. Well, are you going back down to Florida to do? Now, we should say that Mike does a tribute show. He does
a tribute
show.
Yes, we need to talk about this phase of your career.
I did a tribute show to Don Rickles.
Right.
And with Don Rickles' permission.
And you work with
Mark and a Frank Sinatra. I just got back from Vegas from doing a show with a Frank Sinatra. Very fun, very wonderful Frank Sinatra impersonator.
Good.
We did a show in Vegas. And then...
Curious. Now, how did this all start to come about, the Don Rickles thing? When did this happen and how did it become the thing?
You know, I did that show at Harrah's in Laughlin. I was down in Laughlin
for a year.
Yeah, at Harrah's Casino doing a production show. And people would walk out of the show saying I reminded them of Don Rickles and Jonathan Winters, which was, you know, just
high praise
in the world because they're two of my idols.
Yeah.
And then I lost my hair. I had hair when they were telling me that. And people started telling me I look like Don Rickles. Well, then I started watched Don Rickles, the Don Rickles Project, Mr. Warmth, the Don Rickles Project that John Landis did for HBO. And at one point in time, Rickles is walking to the stage, and he's in his tux, and I went, oh, my God, I look like him. And I freeze-framed it. And I had friends come over to the house, and I said, who is that? And they go, that's you. You're in a tux. Where are you working? And I went, that's not me. That's Rickles. So... I started studying his act and watching it, and then I went up and met him when he was up at the Snoqualmie Casino.
Yeah.
And I told him I wanted to, wanted his blessing on doing the show. And his words to me were, "Do people tell you you look like me?" I went, "Yes, sir, they do." And he goes, "You're a damn good-looking guy." He said, "It's real looking in the mirror."
Wow.
And I started doing the shows, and I went down to Florida, and I auditioned for a Rat Pack group type deal, and they liked me. And I work with a Dean Martin impersonator, so we have the Don and Dean show, and then I just got done working with the Frank Sinatra, and I'm headed back down to Florida on the 17th to do more shows with Dean.
Well, you know, Mike,
that's great, man.
I think this is great, and I think we've talked about this. I think... As much as we want to do one-nighters and, you know, have our calendar full, it's turning out that we need to, you know, as we get older, we need a little bit more downtime, to heal and to take care of ourselves.
That's true.
So that when we do have these shows, and I'm glad that these are good paying shows. It's something you do really well. and that, you know, you're getting the kudos that you need, that you deserve. But
and I think it's really important as a comedian, the longer you're in this, to adapt and redefine yourself on stage to keep your career vibrant. And
I mean, we know that Rickles isn't your only act. You can do stand up. You do your own stand up. We know that.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but I just, you know, I know that I get upset because I'm sitting home on a Saturday night, you know, but I realize that sometimes I need to sit home on a Saturday night. I need to not be going anywhere,
yeah,
you know?
I know. I think about going out to a comedy club to see a friend or something at 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
No. I got to be in bed because Matlock's going to be on.
No.
I don't know. I'll see. I'll call them tomorrow. They'll understand.
I just, you know, yeah. It's and
it used to be all night, man.
I really have to work myself up to now to do more than one night in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really have to, I mean, I have to kind of go, okay, put this on and just blinders and power through. And so I know that coming out of this year, it's good that you're doing great shows, you know, in big venues with well-paying gigs, you know, and then taking the time to take care of yourself too.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you like it when Gwen goes with you. Is she going to go with you this time?
She's not going down there. I'm going down on the 17th of January, and I will be down there until the 11th of February. Now she's flying down on the 4th, and will be with us from the 4th until the 11th when we both fly back.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So, do you have to go to the bathroom?
No.
Okay. Because we've been on the phone for a while, so I just thought I'd ask.
Right. You're 68, but you have the urethra of a 23-year-old.
Anyway, well, we're gonna have to wind it up here in a second, anyway,
yeah.
But.
Susan has to go away. She has to go somewhere.
I have an appointment. I'm so glad that you played guinea pig with us and that we were able to do this.
Well, I'm thrilled that I got to do it too. I thank you so much.
And, do you want to plug your show down there? And when we send you the link, will you put it on your Facebook page?
Yes, I will. I'd be more than happy to put it on my Facebook.
Because we'd like to promote you. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to be in Cape Coral, and then I'm going to be in Fort Myers. And once those venues are told to me, and I'm working a comedy club on a Sunday night.
Oh, good.
I'm doing Don Rickles tribute show at Ha Ha's or something like that in Fort Myers. So. I'm looking forward to that. They're just devoting the night to the memory of Rickles. So.
Oh, good.
Perfect. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh,
the last thing that Rickles said to me the last time I saw him was I told him I was doing the tribute show and it was going pretty good. And he said, good, good. Keep my name alive.
Wow, that's great,
man. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to keep Mike Wally Walter's name alive.
To me. Say what?
We want to keep Mike Wally Walter's name alive, too. Okay?
I would like to do that too.
Okay, so you have a safe journey, and we'll put this up soon, and we'll let you know. I'll send you a link,
and I'll put it on my website.
And we'll put it on your website, and you can put it on your Facebook page and promote it, and we will do the same. And thanks, Mike. You're one of the best. Thank you, dear. You're
welcome. Thank you so much. It's so good. I'll tell you this. It's really meant a lot to me to be friends with both of you for as long as we have been friends.
Well, we have been friends.
The feeling
for a long
is
time.
Mutual, man.
As long as there's a meal.
As long as there's a free meal.
As long as a meal in any gig I book. You know?
Okay. All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
See you.
See you, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
Take care. Bye-bye.